So let's begin with a word of prayer. And of course, the purpose of the prayer is to test ourselves, see if we are in a faith relationship with God the Holy Spirit, that He can open our eyes. As we've already seen, and we're not even through yet, you can take the important passage that we're looking at tonight and get different preachers up here, different theologians, and this is interpreted in different ways. And that's the absolute necessity of the spirit-filled life, is allowing Him to illuminate or to reveal Scripture to us, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So let's begin, first of all, with a word of prayer that we might have what we're going to do in the next few moments be in His power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is with the most severe alarm that we open the Scriptures, because it is here that we see more than any other place our total dependency upon You. That's when we open the Scriptures. We, Father, do not want to interpret or see what's going on here from the eyes of the flesh, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But rather, Heavenly Father, allow Your Spirit to open our eyes we might see. I pray Your Spirit will give me the words of wisdom, of truth and simplicity and clarity. And I see these things, Father, pray that You will protect us from the powers of darkness, that we cease to intrude on our seeing these things. And squash, Heavenly Father, the bolt of the flesh to rise up and to reject truth and to substitute its own understanding. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, as we've been doing, let's begin, since this is just a once-a-week deal we get to look at here, and so that we're oriented to what we're looking at, and for we're studying spiritual love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and begin verse 14 and continue until we finish looking at these things. Not spending a great deal of time, even though it may seem that way, but we could spend a great deal more time. But let's see what's going on here. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, parentheses, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, in parentheses closed, that. For this reason I bow my knees, in other words, I pray that. Now here's his prayer. He, God the Father, would grant you, so this is going to be a gift, according to the riches of His glory, and we've looked at the understanding of His glory from context, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. Power comes from God the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Now, why does He wish this? Why does He pray this? Why the power of the Holy Spirit? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And how will He do that? By means of faith. That is faith in the Holy Spirit. And we've taken a look at that. That you, now being empowered by the Spirit and the fellowship with Jesus Christ, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, this is where we left off, but let's just read it. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That this is our objective and our goal, to be filled up with the fullness of God. And this is what we're looking at in the process of what we're studying here. All right, now, let's take up where we left off last week in our study. Now, what we want to do is, what we're looking at is that ability. We're looking at the ability in verse 18, that you may be able. And we left off with this whole concept deals with the believer recognizing his inability. Inability to understanding Scripture, but in context, the inability of grasping the love of God. In other words, spiritual love, or the love that is given by God, the Holy Spirit. So here we're dealing with the ability and inability of man. One of the greatest difficulty of an unbeliever becoming a born-again believer is to recognize total inability to do anything for redemptive salvation but to trust, just believe in Jesus Christ. And this is why you have so many false teachings in regard to the gospel, because people still think, I can do something for God that will cause God to act in my life in such a way as to save me. I can do something. It may be something very minor and very small. I can repent, and by my mere repentance alone, God will save me. By my confession, by my sorrow, by my whatever it is, a ritual, the sacraments of the church, whatever it may be. But I can still do something that will cause God to say, that's what I'm looking for, and on that I will save you. And until we reach that point that we will say, I cannot do anything, I will just have to trust Him to do it for me. And we trust here the first ending. Okay, it's not over. Once we become believers, this is one of the great problems of the church, as we saw in the study of Galatians. What's the problem of the church? And by church, we do mean those who have come to salvation, to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now that I'm saved, now I can do something for God. And so the problem of the church is saved by grace through faith, but want to live by law. Want to live by doing something for God. And what we must realize as believers, to go on now to where God would take us after once being saved, is to realize total inability. Just as when I was an unbeliever. Total inadequacy, inability. And even though I am a new creature in Christ, I have to have His power, and that's that inner man, the new man, the new spiritual creature that we are. So the first words here, that you may be able, and this is what we study, so I'm not going to deal with it any longer, that you may be able, have the ability, have the power, and we looked at the word, we looked at Galatians chapter 3, in regard to God giving us the Holy Spirit for this purpose, and all the things that were going on in this respect. Okay, now, from that point on, ability for what? Okay, we have, this is where I'm sorry we had a break where we did, but I want to get to that point now, that you may be able. There's the first three words in the English, may be able. Okay, ability to do what? Okay, ability to comprehend. Comprehend what? That's what we're looking at tonight. What are we going to be able to do? And then if we translate it, comprehend what? So that you may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth of what? Of His love. This love, it is impossible to comprehend, to grasp this love without His power. Okay, let's take a look at it. To comprehend, might be able to comprehend what is the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up with the fullness of God. Wow, what an objective. What an objective. What a goal. What a prize for the end of the journey. To be filled with the fullness of God. Now, what happens here is a lot of people go out of context and start talking about it. Let's stay with context and find out what the fullness of God is. If you may be able, empowered, in position, to comprehend. Well, not exactly. Not exactly. We have the aorist middle infinitive of kata lambano. Now, lambano, the root word here, just simply means to take. And you add the prefix preposition to it, preposition prefix to it, means to seize something. Means to grasp. It means to attain. I have no problem translating it to comprehend. That just gives a sense of something that's really not here. And that's why I like the NIV. Let me remind you how the NIV translates this. May have power to grasp. They translate kata lambano to grasp. The New American Standard says to comprehend. It does mean to seize or to grasp. If we want to say to seize or grasp with the mind of the inner man, to comprehend. But it is to grasp, and I want to come back to that so that you see the significance of how we're going to translate that word. Now look at verse 16 with me. Strengthened with power, that's the Holy Spirit, and it is by His power that we're going to grasp. Be made strong to grasp. Be empowered to grasp. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And people, I'm sorry, if someone does not know how to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, they're not going to have it. If someone doesn't know how to tap into the work of Jesus Christ. But it's so simple. How do you tap into the two standings to the work of the two standings of God? And this is so essential. We've been studying this all along. The two standings by God, of God, whichever preposition. The first standing, He sent us His Son. And His Son does the work. How do I grasp? How do I grasp the work of His Son? There's only one way I can grasp the work of His Son, and that's by my faith. His work, my faith. That's all. Because faith is passive. It can only receive. It receives His work. Now we're looking at the second standing. He sent His Spirit. Unfortunately, most Christians, as we have noted, never move to the second standing of God. They get bogged down in the first standing. They never move to the second standing. Some think they do and become very, what we call, charismatic, but that's not getting to the power tapping into the power. How do I tap into the power of the second standing? As you received Him, walk the same way. This is what we saw through the book of Galatians. By my faith. By my faith, I tap into His work. My faith in Him causes me to tap into His work, and what do I receive? Salvation, eternal life salvation. I tap into the Holy Spirit. I trust the Holy Spirit, and by trusting Him, I now tap into what? His work. What is part of His work? Well, for example, part of His work are the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. How are we going to have the fruit of the Spirit? He's got to give them to them. They're His work. They're not mine. They're not yours. How do I tap in and receive it? Trusting Him. Boom. He gives it. Now, in our context, I put my faith in the Spirit, tap into His work. What is His work here? Gives to us the ability to grasp. People, it's so important. If you don't have the relationship with the Son, you're not reconciled to God. That's how you're going to get that. Okay. If you want to grasp His love, and I hope you do, if you want to grasp the love of God, you're going to have to be in proper relationship with the second standing. This is why He was sent. This is a fruit of the Spirit. He was sent to enable us, give us the power. What did He do? He enabled us to what? To be reconciled with God. To be restored with God, simply by trusting. If you want to grasp now this love, as a new creature. People, the only way you're going to do this is by faith. It's that simple. You don't have to work for it. Just as you don't have to work for salvation. You don't have to do. All you have to do is sit back and trust Him and receive it. So from Him we're going to receive the ability to grasp something powerful. It's like grasping the golden ring on the old merry-go-round. Some of you are too young to know about that. But they used to have those things in truth. And in reality, at the little park. And you ride around and you grasp. Now we have the ability to grasp. And the gold ring is the fullness of God, which is, as we're going to see, His love. Why? Because God is love. And we've already seen these things. All right, let's go on now. The ability to comprehend, the ability to understand, comprehend, grasp, fully seize. This is one thing that happens when we walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Here is the grand prize for the Spirit-filled life. Well, Christians are so involved in so many things of judging one another. We'll deal with that tomorrow night in our one another studies. But so with prophecy, with this and that, and yet here's something you want to grasp in your life. People, who the beast is, and when Christ is going to come, isn't going to influence your marriage, your single life, your work, your social life, your spiritual life of the church. But I want to tell you something. Grasping His love It's going to influence every aspect of your life. And it's going to make a difference. It'll give you that secret that we saw in the study of Samson. What is your secret? They kept wanting to know, what's your secret, Samson? What makes you different than man? We want to make you like mere man. They don't want to make Christians like mere man, because most Christians have not grasped this love. You grasp this love, and they're going to want to know what your secret is. Okay. So this is by the power, strength, and the ability of the Holy Spirit to grasp, to understand, to comprehend, to grasp, to fully seize. That's one of the things that happens. The power, the ability to grasp. This is the great importance of spiritual love. This is something that so few Christians grasp. Christians, most Christians want to grasp purity or righteousness. They want to grasp knowledge. They want to grasp a charismatic experience. They want to grasp a service of God. All of which are a result of walking in the Spirit in the true sense of the word. But this is what most Christians are out doing. And if you grasp any of those things, people, without spiritual love, without this, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, you're nothing. You've grabbed nothing. You grab a ring of righteousness, of purity in your life. You grab a ring of knowledge in your life. You grab a ring of service in your life. And you don't have this one, you grasp nothing. You've done all that for nothing. Okay, fully seize whatever we're going to talk about here. The aorist tense is reaching the point where you fully seize, grasp this understanding. I like the middle voice here used to emphasize the effect. The effect on you. This is something, when the middle voice is used, it's beautiful in the Greek, the way Greek does things. And the middle voice, what it does, and without getting into it too deeply, just easily think of it this way. It just shows that something affects you. So you have the active voice, that's you do something. Boom, you do it. You got a passive voice, that's the grace voice, that's where you receive things from God. But a middle voice is rather clever in the Greek here. The middle voice is if something affects you. So this is now going to affect you personally in this life, affect you. Now, the infinitive here is infinitive of result. In order that you may be able to comprehend, oh boy, look at the next statement. With all the saints. Oh, big deal. That doesn't mean much. Let's speed read through that one. People, what a fantastic statement. What grace and what love from God here. God does not care. Now listen. God does not care who you are. God does not care what position you are in society. You may think you're unimportant. You don't have authority, power, because of money, because of influence, control, all these types of things that so many people look at. You may just think you're unimportant, but I want you to understand something. You can have the ability to grasp the love of God. And I want you to tell me, what more do you want to grasp in life? And I mean it. If we could sit there and think consciously of grasping the love that sent Christ, first of all, the love that caused God to become man, the love that put Christ on the cross, and you can grasp that love. Take hold of it. Christians take hold and they're grasping for so many other things. Everything from the world things of money, success, health, all these things, this type of thing, and some in the spiritual realm or religious realm, purity, be set apart because you know a lot of it, because you're this, because you're that. People, here's what you want to grasp. To grasp the love of God. His love. This is to me is just so powerful. There isn't one person in the body of Christ exempt from this. Any believer, I don't care your status, your education, any believer can grasp this love. And I, before we go any further, I just want to tell you, you take a study of all of the categories that are given in Scripture about rewards, they're all related to love. Every one of them. But we'll look at that later if we need to. Now, this also, not only does it deal with that, this also is for those believers who think that they're a spiritual island, think that they're a little better than others, they're a little more pure, or they know more doctrine, or they emote more, or they serve more. This type of thing. Now, this is with all the saints. Now, I prefer the Greek here. It says with all the saints, but the Greek is the word means to with or together with, in the company of. This is why, people, we love one another. That's why the new commandment is to love one another. What is the new commandment? The new commandment is not knowledge. The new commandment is not purity. The new commandment is not emotionalism. The new commandment is not service. The new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you're mine. Now, here we have a statement, together with all the saints. So if we can understand what the whole body of Christ is, this is the motivation for loving one another and serving one another in the company or the assembly together with all the saints. All the saints, good saints, bad saints, whatever it may be. This is why loving is Christ's love, is the new commandment for the church. Otherwise, the assembly will be filled with divisions and schisms and quarrels and devouring one another, all of things we studied in Galatians 5, and what? And that describes the church today. Grumbling, defeating, divisions, schisms, quarrels, attacking, maligning, slandering, speaking evil against. Describes the church today. What's absent in the church today? Well, it's not having the Bible. Because they have the Bible, and they all have what we'll call it teaching. They're teaching. They have money. They have power. They have ability. Tell you what's lacking in the church. That's spiritual life. And it has been lacking since the first century that we took a study on the flow of church history. The force of spiritual love that allows us to fulfill the purpose of the assembly, people. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, together, that's in Hebrews. So if you ever reach a point where you just simply cannot worship with others because you're just too good, or you're too smart, or you're too pure, you just know too much, you know better, you serve better, and you just can't worship with these people, you're in real trouble in understanding spiritual love. No, you're in real trouble in living spiritual love, having it flow through you. You're in trouble in grasping it when you reach that kind of point. And don't think believers don't think that way. Many believers do. Many believers think just that way. It is spiritual love that alchemizes everything that we do. It alchemizes the righteous life. It alchemizes the knowledge. It alchemizes the service. So that if you have knowledge without love, you are nothing. If you have righteousness without love, you are nothing. If you serve without love, you do nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, verses 1 through 3. Without love, you say nothing, you are nothing, you do nothing. It's just as though you're not there. Nothing. That's how powerful this love is, and to grasp it. Okay, our passage then says that you may be able to comprehend or grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, we're not here to study Ephesians chapter 3, but what Paul is saying here is that the comprehension of the love of Christ is beyond the thinking of man. It is beyond the geometrical measure. And the geometrical measure is that realm in which man thinks. Its breadth is wide enough for all. The breadth of all the galaxies. Its length, the length of this love, is from eternity past to eternity future, if you please. Its height is to the heavens. Its depth is to the lowest point of hell itself, the depth of the grave, that no one is ever too low for this love to reach. I'll come back to all of that, but let's look at verse 19. Because all we're here really for, as you recall, while we're not spending a great deal of time, is the emphasis on spiritual love, so we can move and continue in our study. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ. Here's where the Holy Spirit will take us. Here's the goal that we're going to know the love of Christ. Okay, what is the new commandment that we've taken a look at in John 13? The new commandment is that I give you a new commandment. The new commandment is to love one another, but it's not just to love one another, because that was part of the old commandment, is to love one another as. That changes everything. When Jesus Christ added that, he changed everything. The old law is to love one another as you love yourself. That's something an unbeliever can do. And it was written to the nation. Now watch what we have here. Love one another. Even that changes, because this time it is to the new spiritual creatures. To love one another as I love you. Okay, now look at our passage. So this is John 13. Look at your passage now. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. People, what I want you to see before we get into 1 Corinthians 13:4, and we start looking at some of the impacts of this love, I want you to see, if we want to do this new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, we're going to have to grasp how he loves. And we're going to do that, we've already seen, in the power of the Holy Spirit only. But what we're going back to, all of this stuff, it's just amazing. And I think we've gone through enough that you see it. You just pull all these strings together in all of the New Testament epistles, and you start seeing the impact of spiritual love, or the love of Christ, the love of God, for God is love. Okay, love one another as I, Jesus Christ, loved you. And not as you love, but as he loved. He upped the stakes. He upped them tremendously from the old law. Love one another as you love yourself. This is all new now. Love one another as I love you. So now we're going to have to look at how he loved. And this is part of the study. Now, there are several ways you can take as I love. Now, just to remind you, we could look at it one way. We could say, okay, how did Christ love? Meaning, how did he receive his love? Well, first of all, he could have loved from his deity. He could have loved from his deity because Jesus Christ is God. Had he done that, then we could not love. We could not fulfill the new commandment because we're not God. He did not choose to do it by his deity. He could have done it by his perfect humanity. So here's his perfect humanity. He could have done that because he is perfect humanity. Had he chosen to do it from his perfect humanity, again, we would not be able to fulfill this commandment because we're not perfect. We're not perfect. Okay. Three, Jesus Christ himself chose to do everything that he did by the Holy Spirit. Pow! Now you can do it. Yeah, because you have the same Spirit in you. That's what we've already seen. You have the same Holy Spirit in you that he had. And we've already seen that he walked by faith in Luke. So, you now can produce this love. That's one way of looking at how Christ loved. A second way of looking at how Christ loved. How did Christ love? Jesus Christ's love was sacrificial to self and beneficial to others, namely, or especially, enemies. Especially enemies here. Now, this is the way he loves. How do most people love? Most people's love is like this. I love you, now you do for me. I love you, now I control you. I love you, you do what I want. Love is for my benefit. No. The love in which Christ loved was sacrificial to himself for the benefit of others. In other words, people, this is a love that will cause you to be humbled, cause you to be on your knees washing feet, cause you to die on a cross, cause you not to always look great. In fact, most of the time, this love will not. It will humble you. This is why most Christians want to talk about spiritual gifts. They talk about spiritual gifts. They talk about how righteous and pure they are, especially today. They talk about their knowledge of doctrine, their emotional blessings, second blessings, and all of that, or their service of their life. Why? Because that promotes me. I look good. You're not going to look good if you love as Christ loved you. As far as the world's concerned, how did Christ look to the world hanging on the cross? Foolishness. How did he look on his knees? Like a servant. Most Christians want to look like John Wayne Christian. Strong, upright, great, look good, feel good, act good, be blessed by God, everything under control, my control. And that's the way most Christians want the Christian life to be. I want to look like John Wayne. No, he didn't look like John Wayne. In his 3 years of ministry, hanging on a cross. So, this is how he loved. Sacrificially, to self, for the benefit of others. Okay, those are two ways that we can look. Now let's go to our study. Let's take a look at our study. And to know the love of Christ. Verse 19 is a summation of the breadth, length, and height and depth of the love of Christ. In its structure, contextually, it is a summation of those four geometric directions. It is a summation of those four things, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of the love of Christ. And the reason for this, without getting involved, is because of the enclitic particle in the Greek. Is used to show a direct relationship and interdependence of what's going on here. This is one of the ways we know that the four geometrical directions referred to here refers to the immeasurable love of Christ. If I put in place of the four, you've got different speakers and preachers, they want to give you different things, just like I did. Breadth is wide enough for all the galaxies. Its length is from eternity past, eternity future. Height is to the heavens. Depth is to the lowness of hell. All these types of things. No, if I just want to be simple here and stay with what's going on contextually, the best way to tell you what all of that means is simply the immeasurability of his love. It's that simple. That's what the enclitic particle does. It points to a relationship and interdependence, the immeasurableness of his love. So that's what we're dealing with now. even to know, and this time we have the aorist active infinitive of the verb gnosko. This is the goal here of what we want. And the active voice, this is interesting. Even to know, this time we have an active voice. This is something you're going to do consistently, persistently. And how do you do this? How do we know anything that's going on in Scripture? How do we know anything going on, what Scripture is talking about, or the wisdom of and involving our daily life? How are we going to know this accurately? Don't fail me. How do we know Scripture? Holy Spirit. So what is the active voice talking about here? What is my part in all of this? Is to walk by faith, which we saw in a few verses up. That's my part. And what is going to happen with my part? Walk by faith, then the Holy Spirit is going to give me this knowledge, because this is what he is here for. We'll see that in John 14. He is here to teach these things. Infinitive is purpose. It is our purpose to grasp this love. Now what your purpose is, this is the purpose, to grasp this love. And even to know. Okay, this is even to know the love. This is agape, spiritual love that we've been studying all along. It comes to knowing, learning, all these things. It's the work of the Holy Spirit teaching us this love. People, even in human love, we have to learn. Never learn what love is, you know, how to love. This is what happens to a lot of people. They never learn what love really is in any category. Human love, phileo love, or agape love. People, love is not something innate. Love is something that we're going to have to learn, something we're going to have to know. Now, the big secret is, how am I going to learn it? And we've already seen this several times in different verses. Some people would say, well, you learn this by studying Scripture, and the more doctrine you learn, more Scripture, more doctrine you learn, the more you'll understand this love. People, there are people who make their whole life studying the Bible, and they haven't even touched this love. I'm sorry. They have not touched it. It is not a matter of how much doctrine do you know. And really, when you get down to that kind of a phrase, how much doctrine, how much Scripture, Always remember that means according to what system. How much doctrine according to this denomination, or a doctrine according to this denomination, or an understanding of Scripture according to this denomination or this movement. It always involves cultural types of things. So there's something more here than that that we've got to take a look at. What we're looking at is, and we saw this last week already, it's an experiential knowledge. It is a knowledge that is, first of all, it is a knowledge that is requires the faith directed towards the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit is the one that is going, well, and then this brings in Jesus Christ into our equation, as you recall from last week. So we have our faith directed to the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ now comes in, and fellowship is active. The fellowship is active. And with this in line now, all of this going on, now we're able to grasp this love. We're able to grasp this love experientially. We're able to grasp. So how do we grasp it? Walking in the Spirit, He is going to give us the ability to what? To grasp this love. To grasp it experientially. Now, I'll show you what I mean by that. Because there is a knowledge of Scripture involved. But let's see how all of this fits together. Let's look at your salvation one. That is your eternal life salvation. Every one of you who have personally accepted Jesus Christ as Savior have touched, kissed, grasped, different words, been affected by this love. You have grasped this love at least once. You have grasped this love at least once. And you grasp it when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. God demonstrated His love, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you grasp this love, people. And the effect of this love through your faith, but the effect of this love was your eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. Now, watch. This gives you the pattern of how and what is important in your life. What do you want to do in your life? What is the primary objective? In the movie City Slickers, Dusty, who was played by Jack Palance, said, boom, this is the only thing in life that counts. I don't know how many of you saw the movie, but he and Billy Crystal were riding on horses, and they were talking, serious talk, and he said, this is the only thing that matters in life. And Billy Crystal said, your finger? And he said, no, but this is it. Just one thing. Now, what was interesting about the movie was, never defined it. You have to find out for yourself. And people, if where I am and where the Spirit has taken me in my life, there is one thing that counts in life, and that's to grasp His love. You grasp His love, you grasp the fullness of God, because God is love. This is the only thing that counts, is this love. Look with me at Galatians 5. I know you know it, but let's just see it. Look with me at Galatians chapter 5. See if Scripture lines up with the only thing that counts. This is love. Let's see. Can we find that anywhere else? Galatians 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. What is that? Any performance system. Any performance system doesn't count. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, the NIV, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You have to decide for yourself. I have to decide. You have to decide. Different preachers will be up here and they'll tell you something else is number one. Some will tell you it's knowledge of doctrine. Others will tell you it's righteousness, the righteous life. Others will tell you it's the charismatic experience. Others will tell you it's service of life. Different preachers have different things that they're going to emphasize. But as I look at Scripture, things like Galatians 5, 6, things like we're studying right now, and the only declarative statement about God, that God is love. This is the only thing that counts. Your faith expressing itself in love. And I can support that in almost with a lot of different ways that preachers would come up with. Let's take, for an example, righteousness. First of all, if you have righteousness without love, you have nothing. But second of all, and more important, if this love is flowing through you people, you will not wrongfully hurt anyone. You will not do wrong if you're doing this love. The scriptures never say, and that's taught in Romans 11. Now, scripture never says, though, that if you're being pure or righteous, that you will do all love. It doesn't say that. But it does say, if you're doing love, you will do all righteousness. So if this love is flowing through, that will occur. Let's look at knowledge. Knowledge of doctrine, knowledge of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13 is very clear. If you knew all things and had not love, you're nothing. You're nothing. So, in the service end, Paul say in 1 Corinthians? If I give all my money to the poor so that I become poor, that's where it's translated, you recall. If I give all my money to the poor so that I become poor, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. So, here is the alchemizer of everything that you and I do in life. This is love. I just encourage you, as you set up what you want to grasp and what you pursue in life, this is the greatest pursuit, is to pursue His love, to grasp His love before you die, before you leave earth, to grasp it. This is the greatest thing that can happen to believers, is to grasp this love. The problem is that so many believers, once they tasted the love of Jesus Christ at the cross, they move away from His love and start working. They start working for His love. They start working to do for God. Whatever it is that, whatever their church or their denomination, whatever their list is that you have to do, whatever their list or their law is that you have to do for God so that God will do for you. If you will do this, then God will bless you. God will restore you from sin. God will transform you into the image of Christ. Whatever it is they put it, you've got to do something for God. Now, you did nothing to receive the eternal gift from God, but now that you're a believer, now you've got to start doing for God. And they move away. They came so close to this life, they actually grasp it for a second, and then they walk away from it and start wanting to earn this love. Start doing something for this love. People don't do that. As you received Him, walk. How did you first grasp it? I simply trusted. Okay? How do you grasp this love throughout your life? You simply walk by faith. What is the object of faith? God the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He's the one who pours in this love. He's the one that gives you the ability to grasp this love. So you walk by faith in the Spirit, and He pours in this love, spiritual love, as we've been studying now. And when this starts happening, something starts happening in your life. The fruit of the Spirit starts coming in. And then you start being transformed into the image of Christ. Not because of anything you do. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't bring about this transformation. His Spirit brings about this transformation. So what happens is, they grasp this love for a moment, and then they start working for Him. And it's all like becoming strangers again. First of all, you were restored. First of all, we started out as strangers. I'm going to use the word strangers. We started out as strangers from God. And then we grasped this love. And we were reconciled. We were restored with God. And then what happens with a lot of Christians, you go back to being strangers again. And by strangers, what I mean here is you go back to a God. You go back, let me be there with a small G. You go back to a God that you got to work for now. You've been reconciled with a God you don't work for. You've been reconciled to a God by the Abraham. You've been reconciled with a God that all He wants you to do is trust me and let me do the work. And now you go back to a strange God that you're going to have to work for. You go back to the God of the Mosaic Law. Well, I'll do for you now, and then you'll give to me. Why did you do that? Why did you move away from my life? And what He wants you to do is just to get back to being intimate again, being restored again, and to walk in this love, to have this love. Now, This is what is meant in Romans 1:17. Let's take a look at it. Look with me at Romans 1:17 a moment. We saw Galatians 5:6, the same thing. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 1 now, verse 17. For in it, now we're not here to study Romans, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Okay, let's look at the phrase, from faith to faith. This is our phrase that we want to concentrate on here. Now, from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Question, how do we become righteous? How do we inherit a righteous state? How do we receive a righteous state? What do? Trust, faith. So, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and by that faith, guess what? We are imputed perfect righteousness. You don't earn or deserve it. It's imputed to you. You didn't do anything for it. It's imputed to you. Because of that, justification, and because of that, what we call eternal salvation. Eternal salvation. Now, from faith, that's faith one. This is a faith whereby we receive this righteousness and we're saved forever. True faith. What is this faith? Look what it says. The righteous man shall live by faith. This is your life. This is how you and I live. We live by faith. From faith, that is that one act of faith that entered us into the plan of God, to faith, that is a whole life of faith. The righteous man shall live by faith. We continue to walk by faith. Here, the object, this faith was the object in what? The first standing of God. This faith is in the second standing of God, His Spirit, who is sent to us because Christ has been taken, departed planet Earth. He's been sent to us to give us a righteous life, to give us spiritual life, to give us the fruit of the Spirit, to give us the power of all of these things. So faith to faith, from faith that initially receives His love to a faith that experientially receives His love. So we enter in this faith. Here we're dealing with righteousness, same thing with His love. A righteousness, our faith, we received His love at the cross, boom, and now we receive His love by faith and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's given to us by the Holy Spirit. So, this is the great issue then. And again, Galatians 5:6, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. Okay, look at our, let's go back now to our passage. Let's go back now to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. To know the love of Christ. Okay, now look at the effect of knowing Christ's love. Look at the effect. Give you some idea of the dynamics of the impact of this love in your life. We're getting ready to go to the 16 impacts of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But this just gives you another glimpse of the impact this love of Christ will have in your life. I want you to comprehend the impact. I want something that will impact my life. And it isn't the love of a woman, or it isn't the love of a man, it isn't the love of the family. It's grasping this love. Knowing the love of Christ, look what it did. Look at this. Grasping the love, knowing the love, grasping the love of Christ at the cross resulted in what? Your eternal life. Reconciliation to the Father. Restored to God the Father from whom we were alienated. From Genesis on. Now, it is beyond, now listen, it's beyond your dreams what knowing the love of Christ can do and will do in your soul and in your life. You can't even begin to dream the impact of this love, just knowing it, grasping it, day in and day out in your life. It is beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding, what living in His love will do. The environment of the love of Christ in your soul, in your life. All right, let's take a look. To know the love of Christ, possessive genitive, love that belongs to Christ, love that is characterized by Christ, love that flows from Christ to you. To know the love of Christ. Let's look at the phrase, prepositional phrase, of Christ, love of Christ, the possessive genitive, the love that belongs to Christ, love that is characterized by Christ, love that flows from Christ to you. Now, from this, just to give you an idea of that, where it says the love of Christ, and knowing and understanding here that it is the love that belongs to Christ, it is the love that characterizes Christ, look with me at one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't have this on my notes, I don't know why, but I want to do it. So if you'll turn back from Ephesians, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to show you the impact and power of this love. People, what changes your life? I want to show you. Look at chapter 5 now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ. Now, that's not his love for Christ. That's Christ's love for him. That's love that characterizes Christ. Look what happened to Paul. For the love of Christ controls us. This love compels us, is a better Greek understanding. This love compels us. But look what happened before he reached that point. Because this is what's going on in our passage. First of all, before that happened, having concluded this. That word having tells you it's a participle. It's an aorist participle. It precedes the action of the main verb. The main verb is the love of Christ compels me, controls me. But something happened before we're compelled by that love. Having concluded this. Now that little phrase wraps up what we're talking about, grasping, coming to know the love of Christ. Having concluded this, that one died for all. That's what this love meant. Therefore, all died. And he died for all, this is all from his love, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. People, you're not going to live your life for Christ. You're not going to be transformed into the image of Christ by getting up every day. I want to be like Christ. I'm going to do this for Christ. If you don't do this, the subject is love. Love does this to you. His love. The love that the Holy Spirit will pour into you is what's going to do this. You don't make great declarations and commitments and all of that stuff. You don't transform yourself. You don't make the decision that I will live and it's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. This is what love does. In parentheses, because we have so many problems today in men-women relationships, because we don't know how to walk by the Spirit and by faith. But that's another parenthesis. But when a woman falls in love, as a responder, falls in love with this man, it's nothing for her to say, okay, there goes my family, my father, my name, my everything. I'm so taken with this love that his life is now mine. What he does is now mine. Now that's the picture of what happens here in this with Christ. We are so compelled by this love that he would love me so much that he would do that. He would love me so much he would give me his name, give me his destiny, that he would die for me, that he would rise again for me, that he would do all these things for me. I'm so compelled by that kind of love. My life is nothing compared to this kind of love. I'm so taken with it. This isn't even, going back to the woman, this isn't even the bozo that I really want to love and marry. This isn't my dream. I had this guy being this and this and this and this. This guy being that. But I can't leave this kind of love. I'm going to experience it. So this is what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 5. I thought about this love. I've looked at this love. I think we're looking at in our passage to know this love of Christ. I've looked at it, examined it, I've been affected by it. I'm so compelled by this love now, having concluded these things about it. Now let's go back to Ephesians in the few minutes we have left. Back to Ephesians chapter 3 with me. So this is a love that belongs to Him. This is a love that we are commanded in the new commandment, to love as He loved. This is exactly how we are to love. A very dangerous thing that happens to a lot of Christians, people, this love, a lot of Christians think this love is instinctive. It is not. This love is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you think you can, now watch. This is very important as we close. Okay, I understand spiritual love and how important it is. So what I will do is I will learn this love. And what I mean by that is I will go to the Bible and I will write down all about it, put it all down, study it all out, and then I will do it. I will learn all about this love and then I will do it. I will manufacture. You can't do that, people. I don't care how much you learn, you can't make this love happen by anything you do. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit, not you. So this is not instinctive love, and this is not a love that you can do. You don't even know what this love is going to look like in any given circumstance. And I repeat that every now and then, getting you ready for 1 Corinthians 13. Love is long-suffering. Well, what does that look like? What does long-suffering love look like? And then I'll give you an example, and you go, oh, okay, that's the way I'm going to make it look every time. But you can't do that. Love is kind. People, no one knows what the kindness of love is going to look like every time, the next moment in your life. You can't make it happen. You can't sit there and say, okay, boy, this is what kindness looks like, and I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going into this situation in my marriage, in my family, in my home, in my work, social life, and of all places, in dealing with another believer, and I'm going to make kindness happen. I don't even know, believer, what kindness looks like. I won't know what it looks like in this circumstance until I have passed it up and turned around and looked back. But you know what? Even if you can do that and you can say, oh, I can see what kindness is, you cannot take it out of that circumstance and take that kindness and make the same kind of kindness over here. It'll change over here. But I really want you to get into your soul is you can't make this love happen. You can't write down 500 things or 50 things or whatever it is of what love looks like and then I'm going to go make it happen. You can't do that. It's like trying to write down what Christ looks like and I'm going to make it happen. That's why I've said, and I've gotten upset some people, but one of the most evil things we're doing to our young people is this WWJD stuff. What would Jesus do? Okay, what are they primarily using their book? The law. Okay, this is what Jesus would do, and they go by the law. People, it's evil. I don't know what Jesus would do in any circumstance except one thing. He would walk by testing the Spirit, and the Spirit would lead him in that. That's all we know. And until we're able to say, I don't know, but His Spirit does, and I will trust Him. I don't know, but I'm going to walk by faith, not knowledge, not my wisdom, not my understanding, not by my making it happen, but simply by trusting. To know the love of Christ, boy, and look at the last word now, which surpasses knowledge. Boy, what a contradictory statement. And this is where I'll leave you for the week. And tomorrow night we'll be back, like I said, for a week in this study. To know what surpasses knowledge. Now, how can you know something that surpasses knowledge? See, I told you the Bible contradicted itself. No, it doesn't. But we're going to have to find out to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Okay. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, where we end up in our study is the same place we end up so often, and that's that all of this brings us right back to You and what kind of God You are. If You are love, and out of Your grace and out of Your love, You have made it possible for any member of the body of Christ to grasp this love in their life. not just be saved by it, but grasp it, comprehend it, have it flow through us. What an awesome God you are, Father. We stand amazed. The awesomeness of your life. And to think that that same love that sent your Son, that same love that put him on the cross, the same love that raised him up, we can have flowing through us. Father, we pray that this will become our goal, our obsession in our life, is your fullness, the fullness of your life. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.